Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's program at the Commonwealth Club of California. My name is Dr. David K. Okola, and I'm the chairperson for the Personal Growth Forum and your moderator for today's event. We also like to welcome our radio listeners, and we invite our audiences to visit us at www.commonwealthclub.org. And now it's my pleasure and honor to introduce our distinguished speaker. Our speaker is giving us the program called What's Your Body Telling You? In a presentation filled with inspirational exercises and mind-body integration tools, Sisgold will tell you how to hear and connect with a primal level of information sharing between your body and mind. He will also arm you with the ideas to communicate with greater effectiveness and clarity, and identify and release the change the subconscious vital beliefs that may sabotage your happiness. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Dr. Steve Sisgold.
Well, first of all, thank you for being here today. I feel really honored to speak at the Commonwealth Club. It's a pretty distinguished club. I was just looking out on the wall at all the people that spoke here before, and I thank you for being here. I think I'll start with the title of the book and the title of the talk, which is What's Your Body Telling You? Now, you may have a lot of thoughts about that. You know, what does he mean by that? And the reason I came up with that title is I have probably asked that question to clients, workshop participants, boardrooms, baseball teams, all the different people I've worked with. I've asked that question probably, 5,000, 10,000 times. And here's why. I've worked with people and they're struggling in the mind with an issue, a problem. Albert Einstein has this great quote, which is, you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created it. And what I take that as is we get stuck. We have a thought or we have a fear. I always say to people, separate the fact from the fiction, because we get stuck in the mind and we try to figure it out in the mind. Well, the problem started there anyway. So I started noticing, well, gee, maybe if we get into the body, we can get some different answers because the body's extremely intelligent. How I started this work is I was in sales. In fact, 94105, this zip code was in my territory. I was selling computers and equipment, and I became number 2 in the region my first month. I'm not here to brag. I'm here to bring a point across. And I was number 1 out of 500 salespeople for 6 years. And people would always say, how did you do it? How did you do it? I'd say, I would really tap into my body. I learned how to breathe. I learned how to sit back so my customers would be comfortable. But what I noticed is, when I was training people, when I was in advertising, when I was in sales, they would say one thing, especially if I trained them or I wrote it, but their body would say something else. There was incongruency there. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody would say, you know, oh, how you doing? I feel great. Well, gee, do you really feel great? Your body doesn't look like it's saying that. Or they'd say, I really want to be successful at my business. Something's going on in their body, but they're not aware of it in the mind. So I started noticing, wow, he's not breathing. That might have something to do with it. How come whenever he talks about or she talks about her product, there's nervousness in the body? Maybe there's a connection that they're not aware of. Well, I started working with people. I actually worked with a rock star. And I tell you these stories for two reasons. One is to illustrate the information, but also for you to be able to look at yourself and go, oh, I wonder if that relates to something I'm doing or thinking. So the rock star comes to me. Now, here's a guy who's had major hits and is out there in a big way, and all of a sudden he gets writer's block, and he's trying to figure out in his mind over and over, why can't I write? Why can't I write? Why can't I write? And all I did was say, what's your body telling you? Let's see. Maybe there's another avenue or another intelligence that can give us the answer. Because in the body, I call it the library of your flesh or your personal Google. In the body is an enormous amount of information. Why? because the body was there from day one. When we're uncomfortable, when we're embarrassed or ashamed or hurting, we hold our breath and we crunch our body up, and then we take our mind and go somewhere else. Can anybody relate to that? Sure. Because who wants to be uncomfortable? I don't. And when we're uncomfortable, we'll go somewhere else to get out of that discomfort. But what happens is the body has a memory. So I'm going to do some exercises with you today. It's definitely going to be an interactive situation here today. But what I had him do is say out loud what he wanted, and then I watched his body. And he said, well, what I want is I want to write some more hits. And as he was saying that, there was a contraction that I noticed in his body. He stopped breathing, and there was some fear. Now, here's a guy who has like 5 number one hits and Grammys, and you think, well, why all of a sudden did he get writer's block? Here's why, and we found it in the body. Have you ever heard of somatic recall or cellular memory, anybody? Have you heard of that? Yeah, pretty much what happened is he, in his mind, was forgetting certain things that happened to him when he had hits, but his body remembered because his body was there. What I did was I had him breathe, feel into the contraction, and rather than, like most of us, want to escape or be an arm's length from our body, I had him feel into it more. Keep going into that feeling. I want to write another hit. I want to write another album. I have more to express. And the more he said that, the more his body closed up. And here's why. Because when he had hit records and when he won a Grammy, his brother got jealous and like didn't want to talk to him. People in his family, you're a big shot now, huh? So somewhere in all the fame and fortune, somewhere in his body lived what I call a viral belief. You know viruses. Every one of us here have viruses in our body. It's true. We have things in our body that if we're stressed, or if our immune system gets really low, the virus will get active and we'll get sick. In this case, I'm calling them viral beliefs because things happened and we held them in. We didn't get to express them out. We didn't get to channel them through energetically, and they live in the body. So here's a good example. I want to write another album. I want to write some new hits. And what happens is his body starts to remember. It has a memory of, remember last time? Your family and your brother, they were really disappointed in you. So when he got in touch with that and said, wow, I think I'm having a memory. My body, as I breathe and feel more into my body, I'm starting to get in touch with a belief that could be actually in my way. So what we did was I had him breathe. Most of us, for instance, right now, are you breathing? It sounds funny, but a lot of us don't consciously breathe. We get into a fight or flight, we stop breathing, and we forget. It's just really nice to breathe. We're going to do some exercises today. You might not even notice that your stomach's gripped right now. You might not notice that you're thinking about something from the morning and you're feeling tension in your body. My work is a lot about listening to our body, noticing what happens. So when he got in touch with that viral belief, what we did is we worked on another belief, which is if I write another hit, I write another great album, I'm going to help lots of people, and I'm going to give my brother and my parents some gifts, and I'm going to feel good. Well, when he first said it, his body didn't believe it because his body had a different experience. But in time, breathing it and feeling it and moving it into his body, he finally got it. I'm a musician as well, so we actually wrote a song that night. And that year, he was on the Oscars for a song, and he won a Grammy. Again, I'm not here to go, I did it, because I didn't do anything. His body did it. His body shifted from having a hit is going to be bad for me to it's going to be good for me. Once he got that, the writer's block went away. So what I'm saying is take a moment and think about something in your life that you want, and notice, how does it feel in your body? Just right now, think about it. Maybe you want a relationship. But hey, the last relationship was tough. Or the last time you were in a great relationship, you got rejected and it hurt. Even though your mind, I'll put your mind here in one hand, even though your mind wants a new relationship, somewhere in your body is a belief that might say, oh, but that was so painful. So what will happen is you'll go out and you'll meet somebody and you'll be sitting forward and or you'll be scared or you won't be in your power. You'll go to make a sales presentation and you'll be thinking, oh, man, my last sales presentation, I had a lot of problems with the PowerPoint and they didn't buy the product. All of that stuff is nervously living in your body. And if you're not aware of it and you don't catch it, you'll make a presentation. And even though the words sound great, your body will be communicating another message. So take a moment and think about anything that you want to create in your life. Maybe you want to write a new book. Maybe you want to create a great relationship. You want to increase sales in your business. And just take a moment and notice as you say it to yourself, like, I desire to write a book, or I want a great relationship, or I want more peace in my life, whatever it is, take a moment and take a couple deep breaths and notice, does your body feel good about that? Is your body tightening? Is there any awareness that's happening inside of you as you're visioning that you want to create something? And if anybody has anything that comes up, raise your hand and we'll talk about it. What do you notice saying to yourself, I want blank? What do you notice happens in your body? And does anybody want to say anything? Please. Thank you. Your chest tightens up. See, that's a great awareness, because what you could do, David, is you can, I actually put my fingertips on that place in the chest and I breathe and I feel and I get in touch with what might be stopping me so I can clear that. Anybody else notice something, please? Thank you. So you're in touch with that. Your jaw tightens up when you think about something you want to do. You see that? And words, do you want to share any of the words? Or? Right. So the fear of what might happen. And that's where I always say to people, separate the fact from the fiction. And here's why. Typical example. Got to go to the doctors. Your mind is spinning into a lot of anxiety. That's why we're talking about reducing that anxiety. A guy calls me not long ago, and he says to me, you know, I heard my company's downsizing. He's an engineer. Oh, man, my company's downsizing. That's fact. He heard that his company's downsizing. But here's where his head went. Man, I'm going to lose my job. Man, I'm going to lose my health insurance. We're going to lose our home. Whoa. Fact versus fiction. Now, if you don't catch that, where's the mind going to take you? The mind's going to spin him into enough anxiety that he might create his worst fear. He might start thinking all these bad thoughts and then go home and get depressed and not sleep well and not perform well at work. All of a sudden, he's joining the downsizing list. What I had him do was just stop the fiction. Stop the mind from running. Take a moment and breathe and tune into your body and let's get the facts. Here's two facts. One, his company's downsizing. Two, he feels afraid. Where do you feel that fear? I feel it in my belly. Put your hand on your belly and actually breathe into that fear versus running from that fear. As he gets deeper into the fear, it reminds him of certain things in his life or certain times in his life where he had a bad outcome. What he's doing is he's taking stuff from the past and bringing it into the present. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. How many times do we bring stuff from the past into the present moment and it influences our activity or our results in the moment? So what I had him do was breathe into that more and shake that out a little bit. Move that tension out of your body because you're making something out of no fact. You may not even get a pink slip. You might not even be on the downsize list. But you're already running into all of these thoughts. Here's what happens. It's in my book, too. It's a true story. He starts to breathe and relax into, oh, yeah, the only fact is that I heard that. And the other fact is that I have some fear from the past. I'm starting to get my energy back. I'm starting to get a little more creative. I'm moving out of the fear. You know what? I'm going to get my resume together and take it out. Great. Now you're getting proactive because most of us freeze or we take a drink or we start getting into our computer for days, or we do something to numb ourselves because we don't want to feel the fear. But breathing through it, he actually takes his resume out that afternoon. And actually, check this out, he has such drive, he changed from fear and contraction to opening to something better happening. That afternoon, he goes to one of the leading engineering firms, and he gets to the desk, and they say, sorry, we don't take appointments unless you have an appointment. You can't just walk in. He says, okay. He's so determined. I think part of it is he wanted to call me and tell me. He was so determined that he actually took an elevator from the shipping department up to personnel. He gets into personnel, and they say the same thing to him. Hey, you know, you can't have an appointment. You can't just walk in. You have to have an appointment. He's telling the person at the desk that he's really excited about getting in with a new company. He's heard about this company a lot. One of the partners walks by and hears him and says, hey, you know what? You seem like you're really motivated and took a lot of guts for what you did. Come on in. The guy calls me back. He says, you're not going to believe this. This morning, my life was over as far as I could see it. And right now, I got a new job offer. Okay? Do you see what I'm talking about? Does anybody want to say anything? Are you noticing anything for yourself? Do you notice how your mind spins out and yet you're not connected from your body? Just notice that for a minute. For instance, I'll just say to you right now, how are you? Anybody? How are you doing? Anybody want to tell me how you doing? Very peaceful. What else? Anybody? Just think to yourself, how are you doing? Okay. Now, take a moment and contact your breath. Just contact your breath. Just like notice, is it choppy? Is it easy to take a breath in, or is it difficult? Are you breathing down in your belly like yogis and martial artists and healthy babies you see in the hospital? Or are you breathing from up here? Or are you not breathing at all? No judgment. It's connecting the mind and the body. That's the integrative conversation starts by noticing the quality of your breathing. Now, take a moment and scan your body from head to toe. What do you notice? Are you nervous? Are you happy? Is your belly tight or is it relaxed? Is your jaw clamped or is it loose? Are your shoulders up to your ears or are they down? You see what I'm saying? In this last 2 minutes, notice how much more awareness you have of your whole body experience compared to what you had a couple minutes ago. Just notice. Has anybody noticed just in that 2 minutes anything different that you found out about yourself? Anybody? I know sometimes it's shy to call out, but just try it. Yeah. So she was sitting up a little hyped, didn't know it, because usually we don't, and then she caught that and relaxed into more peace. He noticed his shoulders were raised, and he had the opportunity to shift that and relax them, and he feels better. See, if we don't know this, here's what happens. You're driving to work, and you're thinking about something that happened yesterday or in the morning. You're gripping the wheel, and you don't even know it. You have no idea you're gripping the wheel. Your leg's tight. You don't even know it. Your jaw's tight. You don't know it because you're thinking in the mind. You're not aware of your whole body experience. By the way, this happens to me too. I'm not perfect in my own body experience. The only difference is I remind myself to breathe and listen and feel, especially like before a talk here, before I go into any business or any transaction, any relationship, any communication, I get set. I'm going to teach you that exercise in a few minutes. What happens is that person walks into work and goes, man, I got the worst neck ache and my jaw hurts, but I have no idea why. Where did it come from? Why do I have this stress? What's going on? I have no idea. That's what I call having a low BQ. You know, our IQ, we're great at trivia and how well we do at Jeopardy and how many facts and figures we can remember. But are we trained to tune into our BQ, our body awareness? No. There's no training teaching kids how to breathe. There's no training to say, hey, before you make a big presentation, take a couple of breaths and relax. Before you get up to bat in the Little League, I used to teach my son, before you get up to bat, breathe, relax, notice if your knees are locked. He'd get hits, but then he would forget sometimes and not breathe and be afraid because he'd be looking at the pitcher and thinking, oh, he's big, he's scary, strikeout. It affects everything when we're not in our body. So just notice right now, again, am I breathing? Is there something from the morning that's bothering me? Is there anything that's going on that I'm not aware of, that how would my life change if I became more aware of my whole body experience? How might it be if I walked into my sales presentation or my first date or talked to someone and actually knew what was going on? One of my skills in being in sales was not only could I read my own body and relax, I noticed when I sat forward in sales calls, my customer would be a little tight. Why do you think so? Anybody, why would somebody be uptight if you're a salesperson and you're leaning forward and you look nervous? Why would your customer be uptight? Beautiful. Could be an act of aggression. Thank you. Anybody else? Needy. Maybe not so sure of my product. I would catch that and sit back, and I noticed my customers would relax. And I'll never forget, when I was working this territory, one of my big clients, really big clients, was AT&T. In fact, I can actually tell you that I'd never lost a deal when I was in sales. And I didn't have the biggest product name, but I was able to relax and really connect with my customer. I'll never forget, I walked in, and I said, hi, how are you, and so forth, and I breathed, and she said, oh, God, that felt good. You taking a breath really relaxed me. You sitting back really relaxed me. Usually salespeople are right in my face. I went, oh, thank you. Thank you. So how are you today? And she started telling me. I said, well, hey, you know, that's pretty interesting because actually, try this with me. Let's just take a couple breaths and really relax. You know I want to sell you product. And we know what's going on here, but let's have a different kind of relationship. That sounds like a funny way to sell, but that's how I approached it. And I was so excited that the next day, she gave me an order for 79 machines. And when I called her, I said, so, thank you. What's up? She said, well, I know all the machines are similar, but you had a presence and a way of relaxing me, and I want to work with you. I eventually sold 3,000 machines, put my son through college and bought a home from that one account. I tell you this because think in terms of your life, where your performance could be if you were more in touch with not only your body awareness, but your actual viral beliefs. I have a viral belief. You're not going to believe this because I seem pretty cocky and confident. When my book came out, I was in the green room of a TV show. And they said, Steve Siskold, you're on in 3 minutes. And you know what? I was shocked. I started sweating profusely, and I was like a wreck. I'm going, what's going on here? I'm usually pretty confident. I can't wait to grab this microphone. I'm a singer. I'm a performer. I love to do this. I closed my eyes, and I started to feel into my body experience because my mind would never figure that out. Probably what I would have done if I was in my mind, I would have overridden my feelings. I would have walked out there and said, so, Steve, how you doing? Tell us about your new book. Oh, thank you. That's probably what would have happened because that was my state of being. As I breathed and felt into it, I remembered this feeling. It was very familiar, and I started to think about where is this nervous coming from? When I was about 9 years old, the first time I ever left my neighborhood, a little safe, close-knit neighborhood where all the doors were unlocked, you know, it was back in Baltimore City. I think I had 23 cousins in the neighborhood. It was very comfortable. What happened was I noticed that in my body was something that was reminding me of the first time I left the neighborhood. The first time I left the neighborhood, my cousins and I went up to the big thoroughfare, Park Heights Avenue, and a car pulled up. It was a big, black, shiny Chevrolet, and I swear it was like a clown car. Maybe 10 or 12 guys got out of it, yelled at us, swinging chains, and told us to get home where we belong. In other words, we went into a new turf. They didn't like it, and they beat us up. I went home, and I remember I did what most people did, is I held it in. I didn't tell my mom how my sweater got ripped. And in there lived a belief from that day on that if I go out into too much or too big, it's not safe. That's a familiar feeling for me. How do I overcome that? By all the things we've been talking about, breathing, moving, saying to myself. So I went into the bathroom. I had like 2 minutes left. I went into the bathroom and I went, okay, let's shake that tension. You're not 8 years old anymore. It's just an old familiar feeling. And let's change that belief, which says if you go too far, you're not going to be safe. And I start breathing deeply, holding my belly, relaxing my body. And I affirm, as I go out into the world more, I will be safe and I will help a lot of people. I was getting in touch with my deeper purpose of serving and helping. And also, that was then, now is now. And I walked on the TV show and it was a great interview because I had shifted what was in my body language and in my body mind and in my beliefs in just about 2 minutes. So think in terms of where in your life something from the past could still be impacting you versus actually being proactive and being new. So here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you, first of all, to take a moment and practice what I call the self-evident truth. And here's why I call it the self-evident truth. It stands for, it's simple and easy to remember, SET, S-E-T. So that helps. You can get SET for any situation. Take a moment and just, if you want to close your eyes, you can. But just take a moment again and get in touch with what's happening with your breathing. What's happening with your breathing right now? Even from this conversation, did it speed up? Are you still holding your breath? Are you more aware? Now take that body scan that we talked about again. And as you get in touch with your body scan again, notice what it is. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell your brain, give your brain a message. And give your brain this message. I notice blank, meaning I notice I'm scared. I notice I'm happy. I notice I'm hearing my heart beat. Whatever it is, take a moment and tell yourself a self-evident truth. This is a very powerful process, and I'll tell you why. Your body is alive. Your body has sensory feelings. It has sensations. It's like a computer, man. You press that button and your body wakes up alive. If you tell your body, my shoulder's tight, and you take a breath, your shoulder is going to relax. So take a moment and take that deep breath and tell your body what's happening, and then tell your body that you want to change it, meaning you want to love that shoulder. You want to stop calling your neck a pain in the neck. You want to really shift whatever you're feeling in your body right now, and through your intention, your breathing, and talking to your brain, tell me what happens if anybody notices anything shifting in your body experience, which makes you either freer, more open, happier, more relaxed, or more energy. Just anybody. Is anybody having any awareness as you're doing this? Please.
I feel that your presence is very relaxing. I can energy myself. So I'm very.
Thank you. Thank you very much. She's saying basically that my energy is relaxing her, which kind of confirms that in relationship we do really impact and affect each other. In fact, one of the things I teach in relationship, there's a whole chapter on boosting your relationship mojo. To boost your energy is to be able to speak from this place. Imagine if your boss says to you, I want this done and I want it done by 4 o'clock, and you feel angry and you grip your jaw and you beat yourself up for an hour and you talk bad about him and you call all of your friends and you talk about him or her versus, hey, you know, when you gave me that assignment and said 4 o'clock, I noticed I felt a little tight. I want to get it done for you. but you gave me another assignment that you wanted at 4 o'clock. It's like being able to not just say you, but this is my experience. When I work with corporate groups, I'm blown out that within 30 minutes, they start to say each other, gee, John, I never knew that when I do that, it bothers you. I always tap you on the shoulder, thought it was a good thing. Well, now that I'm doing this body stuff with this guy who says, what's your body telling you? I got to tell you something. My older brother used to smack me in my shoulder hard every morning, and it hurt. So even though you're being loving and going, hey, how's it going? I just want you to know that's why I react. Wow, I had no idea. Now I know when I compliment you or acknowledge you, smacking you on the back is not the right thing to do. You see, in relationship, if we start to tell each other this is how that impacts me on a physical level, then we're going to have less assumptions, less conflict, and more empathy and compassion. Anybody else had their hand up, please? Thank you. He's having an integrative conversation where, just think about it, how good is it to be tightening your jaw? It's not good. It causes TMJ problems. It causes stress. It makes the mind. It goes all the way down the spine. But in his case, actually noticing, oh, wow, my jaw is tight, and then saying it out loud, his jaw releases. He says he can't even tighten his jaw. So that's just a shift. Anybody else before we move on? Yeah, thank you. So obviously you're getting the picture here that to have more consciousness about your body experience, not just your mind, can actually help. It can definitely help you in your business because, number one, you're going to catch those memories or those formulas. I had a businessman that came to me. I tell you these stories to kind of activate and get the point across. Businessman came to me and said he wanted to have a successful business. And as he was saying that, I noticed all this stuff was going on in his body. And again, as he said, and I had him say 3 or 4 times out loud, I want to have a successful business. I want to have a successful business. I want my business to be successful. He had all the marketing tools. He had great products. He had all the stuff. But what he didn't have was he didn't uncover in his body a viral belief. A viral belief that actually was telling him because his dad, whenever everybody in the neighborhood got Christmas presents, he didn't get any. And he would say, Dad, I mean, man, every year people are getting skates and bikes, and why aren't I getting anything? His dad would say, Son, that's a bad thing. You know, all those gifts and that money those people have, it'll make you sick. Well, he forgot about that. It was so many years ago that he even forgot that that was such a possibility. And he said to me, he said, could that be the reason I can't create my business? I said, well, possibly, because your body language actually, when I met you, said, don't come to me. Something in your body is afraid to connect with people. And what happened was, as he affirmed, as I build my business successfully, I will be healthy. His body didn't believe it. Same kind of thing. But once he started affirming, breathing, shaking out the old belief, because it literally lives in our body. It's a block of our energy and our flow. No kidding. The guy starts to have wild success in sales. He starts to meet a great person. And he gets married. And he has 2 children. He has 2 offices. Why? Because he could embody a new belief. Do you know that 70% of the people in California, when they won the $1 million lottery, you know, when they used to hand out $1 million at once, gave it back, lost it, blew it, lost it in investments, spent it. Wherever they lost it, they lost it. Why do you think they lost it? Why did 70% of the people lose that $1 million very quickly? Anybody? So there's some beliefs that didn't deserve it. Yes. Didn't change what they were used to doing for so many years. But catch this. It's the body. And here's why it's the body.
I can't stand the economy. I'm so tired of being poor. I'm so tired of not having money. You are now a millionaire. It's like the body couldn't hold the energy.
There's the Yoga Sutras. If you've ever heard of that, they talk about that all energy is ascending and descending. In my book, I talk about upward thoughts, like, I want to write a new book. And then I count with clients. One, two, oh, about 3 seconds, they go, but who's going to buy it? It's an energetic thing that happens in our body, and we don't even know it. I call it the upward-downward syndrome, or the I want but. And it physically happens. If you catch it, you can catch it in your body and say, wow. If you're breathing and moving and affirming and keeping your body open, then when you have that upward thought, you can actually keep it. Hey, I'm going to have a great relationship. Oh, that feels good. Ah, ooh, I noticed a little tightness in my shoulder. Let me move that out. Oh, it still feels good. I'm going to have a great relationship. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to change my business. But if we don't catch it, what will happen is energetically those people wanted to go back to what was familiar in their own body. Does that make sense? They wanted to go back. So by losing that $1 million, guess what they got to do? Oh, man, I'm broke again. The economy sucks. Yeah, now you're back to your familiar body posture. Now you can go into that short breath and that contraction that you're used to. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means that this is what we learned. How many times do I come across this? Mommy, I'm really hot. It's really hot in here. I want to take my sweater off. You're not hot and the room's not hot. What does that teach the kid? Anybody? Don't listen to your body. Don't trust yourself. And maybe I don't really know what I feel. How many times were you wondrous and excited and ready to go and somebody said no or don't do that? Or how many times did you tell the truth and you got punished? So what happens is you start to build a body posture, not just a mental posture, but an actual physical body posture that says, I better not tell my truth because all the times I did, I got hurt. Or, oh boy, you know, they told me I don't know what I feel. So, I talk to people that are so confused they can't even decide on a menu what to order. It's really difficult. And every time we'll trace back to, oh, I see. Every time you said you had an experience, you were told, no, that's wrong. Start to get confused, right? Well, gee, maybe I don't really know what's right for me. And here's the other part. Then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm working with a woman, and she says, nobody wants to hear me. Nobody wants to listen to what I have to say. I go, okay. Let's go into the body and see where that started. So she starts talking about, I want to tune into my body where that started. And where it started, basically, it wasn't that hard to identify, is when she said something at the dinner table, her brother had a habit of interrupting her, and her parents ignored her and listened to him. And that taught her that what I have to say, nobody wants to hear it. Guess what she does to fulfill that self-fulfilling prophecy? Oh, you're sitting at a theater with her and the show's just about to start. And she says, oh, I want to tell you about the vacation idea I have. Not right now, honey. See, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Right at the beginning of a concert or a business meeting, she starts to come up with ideas and the person next to her says, not right now. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Do you see what happens? We get so used to it. It becomes such an ingrained pattern that we start to create the self-fulfilling prophecy. And what I'm doing in my work and my business is to help people catch it in the body so that when it descends, when you see yourself going down, you catch it. And also you can actually breathe and move and shake some of those feelings out. And then you can start to not just do affirmations for the brain, but affirmations in the whole body. You can actually, I have a chapter on how to get in touch with your purpose and actually express it in the body so that you, when you walk in a room, people can exude and feel, oh, that person's purpose isn't just mental. I actually feel it. You see the difference? So you actually get in touch, and we'll have a few moments for questions. But I just wanted to, you know, basically stir something up here today to get you to take a look at, like, how often am I connected to my body awareness? How often do I hold myself back, like I'm really excited, I'm going to close this deal today because I can feel it. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds goes by and you start to go, oh, no, man, the last sale was so tough. And then what do? You wind up taking the day off. Or you start to get sick and you call in, hey, I got to cancel that appointment and change that appointment. Versus, let me breathe through that fear of the last sale. Let me breathe and move and shake out what might be keeping me from having what I want. And let me start to affirm from the moment, from now until I get into that person's office, that I am going to get that sale. Ah, my stomach's tight, doesn't believe it. Let me relax my belly. Ah, I am going to get that sale. Oh, feels good. Actually feels good. I am actually going in to go in that office and get that sale. Oh, my whole body feels it. Do you see the difference of how that person's going to walk in the room versus, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be rejected again. Oh, I'm going to find a hard time with parking, so I'll be late. You know, these things happen. They happen in everyday life. And they definitely happen in relationships where we're not communicating the truth. We assume, we think, we blame versus, hey, when you did that, here's how it impacted me. I just wanted you to know. I've done that, like I say, in groups and couples, and what happens is people feel like more intimacy, more empathy. I understand now. I understand when I do that how it triggers you, and you didn't make me wrong. Now we can work better. Now we can work as a management team. Now we can work because we understand how to speak and what triggers versus not knowing and all the stuff that builds up about that. So take a moment to think about what you want to ask. If you have any questions, you can write them down and give them to our gracious host. And we'll have a little time for questions. And I'm also going to be around after to... Anybody wants to speak it out, you can. Also, I'm going to be around afterwards to answer personal questions. And I did bring little autograph stickers. I'll autograph and sign the book for anybody that wants me to do that. Yes, what's your question? Thank you. It's a great question. Basically, how do you get to the action part? Well, one thing is I like to put gasoline on the fire. And what I mean by that is when someone starts and they say, you know, I want to have a successful feeling on my throat, I tell them to make it bigger. I find that magnifying gets to bring it out. See, mostly everyone in this room, I guarantee you, has withholds, meaning there's things you want to say but you can't. Or things you want to say, but you're afraid of how the other person's going to react and how it's going to make you feel. Can anybody relate to that? You know, either appropriately or you've really been wanting to, but you've held it on for many, many years. So to answer that question, I'm going to give you a quick example. I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to give you a real-life example that's in the book. A woman comes to me with terrible asthma, and she breathes like this. And I go, okay, let me really have you breathe. Well, she's afraid to breathe because it hurts. And I notice in her chest is a lot of pain. So I put gasoline on the fire. I said, breathe and put your finger right on that spot that hurts and see if there's something that got stuck in there that you never got to express. And as it hurts, most of us will want to stop. But my teaching is embrace it, grip it, go with it all the way, shake it out, move it, scream it. I don't care what. Move that block. And what she does is she starts to breathe and go, I know what it is. I go, okay, what is it? Oh, I was about 10 years old. My grandfather died, and I was so angry. I wanted to scream at God, and I wanted to scream at my grandfather. But my parents told me, no, he's happy in heaven. Don't you act angry. So I held it in. And then at the funeral, I just wanted to wail. I was missing my granddaddy, and they said, no, don't cry. Don't you cry. You hold that in. And what happened is she sucked it in and 2 days later was diagnosed with asthma. I was the first person that said, go for it. Let's move it into action. breathe, move, kick, scream. I don't care what. You've been holding on to an unexpressed feeling. You enrolled your body to hold on to it. It's stuck in your chest. Get it out. Well, boy, I tell you, man, I'm glad I live at the end of a road, because she just went crazy. She just said, "I miss you, Granddaddy. I can't believe you left me. And God, why did you take him?" This is 30 years later. "And I'm so angry at those doctors, and I'm tired of this inhaler." And every time she does that, she notices she can breathe better. I'm not a doctor, but what I can tell you is that in writing, she said, "Guess what? I don't have asthma anymore." Because she practiced not withholding and holding it, she got to express it out. So to answer your question, go all the way with it. Please. Thank you. Thank you.
So I always later in life, when I did get some talks, I would be very worried that there was a breath.
Good awareness.
So I didn't want to give a talk. And so then one time I just decided, I don't care if my voice is going to be choppy. I'm just going to let it be choppy. So what? It's choppy. I'm just going to keep going through it. And it actually kind of hard to do it. But later someone told me to breathe.
That's great. Thank you. Did everybody hear that? Basically, and I even can let you say it, but she had a time where she was young, I guess in parochial school, and it was choppy, lost her voice. I'll just talk choppy.
So what? I'm just going to... But also I learned that I think that time it wasn't choppy. I don't know, whatever, I got over it, was successful. But it was from addressing it. But also since I've been told that you have to breathe before you get a talk. You have to get breath in your... You have to get breath in your...
Yes. So does everybody get what she's saying? Basically, she had a belief that said, oh boy, if I talk, it's going to be choppy, so I'll just avoid talking. And then what happened is, by avoiding talking, she didn't get to do something she wanted to do or loved to do, or professionally or not, and that's what happens. And also, I have a lot of speakers I work with and performers. Sometimes they'll call me right before they're going to go on TV and stuff, and I'll say, okay, let's do the self-evident truth, but also tell the truth. If you get up in front of a group and you're nervous, try this. Wow, I just need to tell everybody I'm nervous right now, and it'll go away. If you try to hold it in, it's like on the top of the stove, eventually it'll just boil over, right, if you try to hold the steam in. But if you actually let it out, it'll relax you. People have told me, wow, man, I got up to give a speech, I was nervous. I said, my coach told me when I'm nervous, I'm just going to say it. So I'm nervous. Everybody clapped, yay, and then they became unnervous. That would be an example of taking action versus holding it in. Another question?
Yeah. I see that there's a lot of truth in all of this. The one thing that I run into a lot is, you know, with myself and especially with a partner, you see things where you think, oh, man, I have baggage there, and I don't quite know what it is. And sometimes it's, aha, my little brother used to punch me on the shoulder. Sometimes it's not that easy, or it's a combination of a million things. And is there a process
right. Well, two things I want to say about that. One is what we said earlier is that in that process, as we've illustrated a few times, try breathing, moving, shaking, letting that energy out versus holding it in, and start to affirm the opposite. If your process is, oh boy, I'm afraid this is going to happen, if your mind stays frozen in that, that's what's going to happen. You're going to talk yourself into it. So what I do constantly is the opposite. I say the opposite, and I breathe it into my body. I shake it into my body. I will be safe in this experience. Oh, don't feel that yet. So I do it until my body is safe. The other thing is, in what I teach people in communication is a simple four-step process. Step one, observe. Oh, I noticed when you left the magazines in the reception area, I felt tight in my body. That's step two. As I observed something, I'm going to share my experience with you on a physical level. I felt tight in my body. Step three, share your need. Because I need the office, I need the reception area when I walk in to be impeccable so I can just get to work. Then make a request, not a complaint. So would you be willing every night before you leave the office to make sure the reception area is cleaned up? Now, this is a dentist that I was just example. Here's how she used to do it. What's that doing there? Oh, man, what is that? You're not doing your job. What a mess. Oh, man, I can't work like this. That blows the other person out. That makes tension the whole day. And her person, who is the person at the front desk, doesn't like her and is in a bad mood and is putting that vibe out to clients. Think about how those four steps work. Number one, observe. Not observe like, oh, it's 5 to 12 or 5 to 1. Observe like, oh, it's a little rainy out today. Observe at that point where you can just say with no energy, oh, I notice when I see magazines in the reception area, that's the observation. How does it impact me? Don't go like that. How does it impact me? Rather than pointing, point to yourself. I notice when I see magazines, I get real disorganized and nervous. Thank you. I didn't know that. Step three, express your need. Because I need it to be clean when I walk in. It just gives me a good feeling and I can go right back to my office and get to work. And step four, requests, not complaints. Step four would be, so would you be willing to clean this up when you shut the door every night? Because that really makes me feel great. Thank you for hearing me. And that's not New Agey or airy fairy. It's real. It works. It works in corporations. It works with couples. When we can speak to that in that kind of a approach, somebody goes, wow, I didn't know. I'm going to clean it up because now I know how important it is to her versus you screwed up. That's just going to mess somebody up. So that would be the protocol that I would suggest. Number three would be express your need. You know, because when I see it that way, it really makes me tense and I feel disorganized. Please.
How do you feel about regular yoga practice that she does or something like that as a way of helping to release those blocks and being in touch with your body, being in touch with your breath? I've personally experienced that I've found it to be immensely helpful to do this consistently over a period of time.
I totally love them. I mean, I think that any time we can do yoga, we're going to be more aware of our breathing, our circulation, where we're tight, we're opening. Qigong is amazing because it's a little bit like what I'm talking about, a lot like I'm talking about, shaking out the energy. I think anything you can do to move, breathe. I'm on the radio a lot, and they always say to me, what do we do with the economy? You know, the anxiety. I say, number one, separate the fact from the fiction. Number two, breathe. Number three, scan your body. And number four, move, move, move. Don't stay stuck. Don't sit frozen worried about what you saw on the news. When clients call me sometimes, I'll say, do you have a phone where you can walk around? Yes, start walking. What do you mean? Start walking. Breathe. Tell me the story now about what happened at work as you're breathing and moving. Start to shake, feel. How do you feel? Wow, I'm already more relaxed. And all of a sudden, they get calmer. And they're telling me this story because their whole body is alive. So, yes, yoga, qigong, martial arts, movement. I swim, little trampoline, mini trampoline, whatever it is to move energy, do it. Because it really will get you out of the fear and into a more creative, powerful position. Let's see. We have time for a few more questions. Anybody else? Please.
Like, you need to pay attention to what's going on in your head. And if you're thinking negative thoughts, but you also need to, because you can turn that around.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need to tune into what you feel.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I like the chicken egg. Which came first, the chicken or egg?
Yeah,
they do. Well, I believe that it's the integrative conversation. First of all, if you're more in touch with your body experience, you're going to catch that downward spiral I was talking about. We don't know we're doing it. You know, we could just, I'm blown out by how many people would say, I say, what do you want to do in your life? I want to create an album because I've been singing my whole life. 1, 2, 3. But, you know, who's going to like my voice? It's like they don't even catch that their body was going down before their brain got it. So you're right. What's first? I like to start with the breath because that starts the body and the mind being one versus I'm out here and I have no idea. My leg's shaking. I don't know. I'm gripping the computer mouse like this. That will wake me up to what's happening, and then my brain and body are one. Then the brain says, oh, I know what's going on. You're gripping the mouse. Oh, yeah, my body, I just caught it. The brain and body become one unit, just more powerful because you're more aware of your own whole consciousness. I call it whole body consciousnesses versus just mental consciousnesses. You know, you've seen there's so much research now in science. There's a gut brain. There's a guy named Gershon, Dr. Gershon, who's finding the gut. There's another fellow who does work on the heart. And what he says is basically that in transplants, actually the new people who get the heart start to have characteristics of the person who died. There's intelligence in the kneecap. There's intelligence everywhere. I was on the radio last week, and I took a risk. A woman called in and said, I can't feel my knee. It's been numb for a long time. And I taught her the self-evident truth right on the radio. And she says, oh, my God, I can feel my knee. What happened? I said, you put your brain into your knee, and you brought them together. You had been ignoring that pain so long that you cut yourself off from it. When you started, even though it was a little painful, you started to get feeling back. Now you get the circulation going. There's a good chance that knee's going to have a chance to heal. Our body has a natural healing ability. But if we cut ourselves off, we don't even know, to get to a point where we just numb it. And one more thing, we talk bad about our body. You know, oh, that was a pain in my neck. That was a pain in my neck. Eventually, your neck starts to hurt. I had a guy who avoided the IRS for 6 years. And what he said, every time the IRS letter came, he said, I'll just put that in the back of my head. I said to him, man, they're not going to throw you in jail. Get a monthly payment with the IRS and get that out of your head. No kidding. He calls the IRS. He calls him back. No more headache. Exactly. You've been storing it back there, telling that bad news in the back of your head. Eventually, it starts to create a headache. So I'm really here to just promote that you leave here today with more awareness about everything that you feel and notice in your body. And I thank you so much. Please, one more, and then we got to go. I want to keep the agreement. I think just studying the techniques and going over them enough that it becomes secondhand. You know, it's just like anything, working a muscle. People work through this because they practice enough. I don't think about it all day. It's just like today when I was driving here, I noticed I was gripping the wheel. I caught it and I relaxed. Just it becomes second nature. But I want to thank you all so much for being here. And if you want, I'll stay in the back and sign your books and say hello. And thank you to our host, David Appella.
Again, our special thanks to Steve Siskel for his comments here today. Today's presentation was called What's Your Body Telling You? Let's put together our hands together one more time and give another applause for his gracious comments here today. We also like to thank our audience here at the club, as well as the radio audience at home. And now, this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, commemorating its 106 years of enlightened discussion, is now adjourned.